So welcome everybody to this serene oasis of tranquility. For those of you who are coming to the beginner's introduction to meditation class, it's not always as noisy as this. And anyway, you're not supposed to be in here. The beginner's class is in the room to my right, where we have a lovely meditation teacher who will teach you the fundamentals and basis of meditation. Here we do the ongoing class, and it seems apropos, correct, to talk about how to deal with disturbances in meditation. Because I've only got a few more bricks to cut on the front over there, and just getting ready, because tomorrow, if you don't know already, we have our Waisak celebrations all day. That's the biggest celebration in the Buddhist year, celebrating the birth, enlightenment, final passing away of the Buddha. So that's a big day tomorrow, so we're going to make sure they're cleaned up and out of here by tomorrow, which is why they're working today. And for those of you who haven't been to that celebration before, please come along. And if you're not free that day, never mind, come anyway. It's a nice big day. And if you've got to see your mother or your father or whatever, bring them here. If you're visiting the sick, you can bring the sick here as well. Who knows, they may be healed on the holy day. But anyway, that today we're doing a bit of meditation. And if you ever have any disturbances, you know, like sounds outside, always remember the attitude which you can still get into very peaceful, deep meditation without having to be worried by sounds. Because the story which has a couple of stories, the basic story, how to deal with sound, came from my teacher. Because in our local villages around our monasteries in Thailand, whenever they had a party, and they had huge loudspeakers. You could hear them a couple of miles away, really loud. And they would go on till about 2 o'clock in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, they would all go and have a rest. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, the monastery bell went when we had to get up. So only having an hour's sleep at night, which was not enough. So we asked the headman of the local village, can you just stop at 1 o'clock? Give us an hour and a half, 2 hours sleep. And he said, no. We just have to keep going on. And so we knew he wouldn't pay any attention to us. So then we went to see Ajahn Chah, because everyone was afraid of the great master. We asked him, can you please tell the head man to stop at 1 o'clock? I'm sure if you said, he would actually follow. And he said, no, monks, I won't say to the head man, because, he said, it is not the sound that disturbs you. It's you who disturb the sound. And that was an incredible, wonderful little teaching. Because it's true, the sound is just the sound. But it's when we disturb it, when we don't want it, when we regard it as an irritation, when we say, no, we don't like the sound, you should stop them for half an hour. It's that thinking, that reaction, that is what is meant by disturbing the sound. When we let it be, then it's not a problem anymore. And the second story, which emphasizes this, on how to deal with a disturbance-like sound, or other disturbances in your meditation, is to remember just whenever you watch a TV set. If ever you watch a TV set, you should be able to notice that when you first start watching the TV, you can see the edges of the screen and many things beyond the screen. You know, maybe you have a photograph of somebody on top of the screen. You know, somebody once had a Buddha statue on top of the TV set, and I told them off when I visited their house. So they actually offered the Buddha statue to the monastery. It's not appropriate to have a Buddha statue on top of your TV set, because, you know, Buddhas don't watch TV. But anyhow, you notice if you did have something on top of the TV set, after a few seconds of turning on the TV, your mind actually shrinks, and all you actually see is just what's inside the screen. If you have a big TV set or a small TV set, it's exactly the same experience. Your mind fits in to the screen, and anything outside the screen falls off. your area of perception. You just don't see it anymore. And that's exactly how you do, how you deal with things like disturbances such as sounds. Don't put it in the center of your screen. Keep it on the edges. The center of the screen is your breath or your body scanning, if you're doing body meditation or the peace. Keep that in the center. That's important. And the sound, the disturbance, is over there somewhere. You know, to the left, to the right. It's not central to you. The problem is when we make a problem of the sound, when we get upset by it, it becomes the main thing, it becomes central in the very middle of our screen of attention, and of course everything else falls off. So, say you're watching the breathing in the meditation, keep the breath in the center, and you can hear the sound, but you're watching the breath. The sound is not the central part of what you're watching. It's on the edge, it's peripheral. And keep watching the breath, keep watching whatever's right in the center, and after a while, you can't hear the sound. It just disappears. It falls off. We don't disturb the sound, and then it vanishes. You disturb it, which means you make it important, you give it centrality in your field of attention, and the sound stays for a long time, and it really upsets you. Don't give it any added emotional importance. It's just sound, that's all. Keep it to the edge, and soon you just focus on what's inside. In the same way that people can, you know, watch a movie, you know, at home, or they can be, you know, watching, especially guys, watching a football match. I don't know if that's ever happened to your husband and to you, but you know, maybe people have told me this is actually very true. Your husband's watching a footy match, and you come up and said, "Oh, there's somebody on the phone for you," and he doesn't even move. He just simply can't hear you. He's not ignoring you, he's just, no, your sound has fallen off the screen of his attention. He's totally focused on the football. Or you may be watching a movie, you're totally focused on the movie. And you can't hear anything else, literally. Because if you're really focused and that whatever is in the center of your field of attention is really important to you, then everything else vanishes. And that's a wonderful way we can actually meditate almost anywhere. And we're not disturbed by any sound. Many years ago, it was like a political process about what was happening under the military junta in Burma. A few of the Burmese Buddhists over here, this was 20, 30 years ago when Aung San Suu Kyi was under house arrest, and they wanted to make a silent protest, and that was done in Hay Street, just opposite the Mall. And you know, they invited me to come there. And when I asked, "What are you doing?" because monks don't usually protest, I was just sitting meditation in the street on the pavement by the church. They had permission to do that, so that's what I did too. And so it was really wonderful to be able to meditate for 2 hours on the pavement in the middle of the city. And I remember I was opposite a shop, I think it was called Time Zone or something, where they had these video games and this music was blaring out in the middle of the city. And how can you meditate in a place like that? And that's actually what I did. My breath was the center of the screen. And all the other sounds of traffic, all the other sounds of the video game shop, of people going past, that was all on the edge. And I was focused in the center. And after a while, you couldn't hear any sound anymore. That's how to deal with distractions. And unfortunately, in our modern world, it's really hard, you know, to find a place where it's just totally quiet. You know, even here, if we didn't have the builders outside doing the last of the brick paving, we still have, you know, aircraft going overhead, dogs barking, or people deciding to mow the lawn on a Saturday afternoon between 3 and 4 o'clock. You can't, very difficult to find a place where there's no sound at all. So because of that, this is how we can learn how to meditate in any place, and even if there is sound. We keep that on the edge. We focus in the middle on our meditation object, whatever it is. The sound is not central. It's over there somewhere to the edge. And after a while, it vanishes and we don't hear it. So now we have the compactor going. Vroom, 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 vroom. They must have heard me as if this was permission. But anyway, There it is. That's our life. And once you learn how to do this, it's very, very easy. Okay, so let's get going, doing some meditation. And if you practice what I've said, after a short while, the sound will vanish. Okay, and so there's some people outside. Please, those outside, if you want to come in, you can come in, but don't know what they're up to there. But if they're going to the beginner's meditation class, that is the room to my right. There's a what? The fifth week. Oh, that's true. The 30th. Okay, then they can come in here then. And they just, if they want to, but they have to learn how to meditate for a while. See what happens. I often say that if you, there's a lot of people in our modern world, they don't like organized religion. If you don't like organized religion, this is the place for you. We are disorganized religion, as you've just said. What do you want to do? I thought I know class next door, it's the fifth. New people. Probably best if you ask them to come next week, but if they want to sit here, it would be too difficult if it's the new people. Try next week, I would suggest. Okay, there. Unless they want to come in here, but they have to. They don't really know what they're doing. Okay, well, neither do I really, so let's just give it a try. Okay. Enough fun and games. Okay, so if you're not sitting down with your eyes closed already, please close them now. And first of all, bring your attention with your eyes closed to your body. So see if you can center on your body. And the body being like a bubble for you. And the sound is outside of the bubble. It's not central. Can you feel the sensations in your body now? How are your legs? How's your bottom? Does it need to be moved? Sometimes we have to fidget this or fidget that to get our body into the most comfortable position. And if you have any tight pieces of clothing, loosen them. The back doesn't have to be straight like a stick. It can be bent backwards, leaning whichever way, as long as you feel comfortable. Is your body comfortable? How's your head? How's your hands? So see what you need to do to get your body really, really comfortable. And be aware of your body, not the sound. You soon find you can relax your body. And the first part of the meditation is just dedicated to relaxing to the max. It's an exercise in letting go. Because when you let go, things get easier. When you control, your body tenses up. If there's any part of your body inside which is tight and tense or irritating, focus on it. Put the irritation inside of you, in the center of your screen. That gives you mindfulness. And allows you to relax. The awareness gives you feedback. And you go through this process of being aware, relaxing. Keep the awareness, knowing it's getting more soft, more easy, more free, more peaceful. Until your body relaxes very deeply to what I call, what I experience as the delight of relaxation. There's hardly any tight places inside. And any irritations are relieved. Just relaxing your body. And once the body is relaxed, then we can let the body go. Just be inside of our mental world. Just making peace with whatever we are aware of right now. Not fighting it, not complaining. Not going anywhere else. Not lingering in the past. Or running off into the future which hasn't happened yet. But just being in this moment. When people ask, what should I be aware of? The answer is whatever's happening right now. Whether it's a thought, whether it's a physical feeling or a sound, just be aware of it at the beginning. Just noticing it, being kind. This is called establishing awareness. And in particular, be mindful, be aware of what I call the relaxation or the peace dial in your mind. Just like on a dashboard of a car, you have many dials, which shows you how fast you're going, which shows you how much petrol you have left in the car, which shows you how hot the engine is. There's a dial in your mind called peace, relaxation, ease. Be aware of that, how peaceful you are, or the opposite, how tense you are. And see what you need to do to take that dial deeper and deeper into peace, relaxation and ease. In the same way you relax the body, we relax the mind. keeping the awareness of peace in the center of your screen. Relaxing the mind, not fighting anything, making peace, being kind, being gentle. feeling close to the end of the meditation now. How do you feel? How relaxed, how peaceful are you? And why? And now ring the gong 3 times to end today's meditation. Very good. So we have the questions now. It was live stream from overseas. Any questions today? Thank you, Renee. Only one question. Oh, this is a nice question from the Maldives. So, I don't know, in the Maldive Islands, people are supposed to be on holiday over there. I am having migraine always. It starts blinking my nose when I start meditation. I'm always trying to be kind to it as advised by Ajahn Brahm, but I'm still unable to get rid of that suffering. Okay, if a person does have a migraine, obviously the first thing is to find out any medical or prior solutions to the migraines. And if there's no medical solutions, and then the next thing to do is I'll learn how to make peace with those migraines. I do remember one member of our Buddhist society here. He said he had migraines when he was a young man, and he was in the British Army. This was, and he was, to say he was over in Germany, you know, doing some maneuvers over there. And he said the only way he could deal with his migraines is just go deep inside of them. So deep inside the migraine, inside the body, inside the mind, always going deep into things, rather than trying to run away. And he said because of the migraine, he could get so deep inside himself that he couldn't feel any of the migraine anymore. And to give an example of what he did, he said that once he was on some sort of maneuvers, he was a sergeant, and so he was in charge. And when they were told they could have a tea break, you know, his troop of soldiers all made a cup of tea, and he had a big migraine. So he said, I'm going off into the into a barn, into a dark place, because in the darkness it would overcome his migraines, or help anyway. So he went into a barn, and he said he got into very, very deep meditation, just went really deep inside of himself, to a place where the migraine couldn't reach. And apparently, that to show how deep he had got into this meditation, some commander got on the radio, told the troops it's time to move, so they all put away their tea stuff and they got into the truck, and they were just about a kilometer down the road when they realized they'd forgotten their sergeant. So they went back again, looked for him, found him. He was in this this barn, and you know, there were soldiers. They picked him up and dumped him in the back of the truck. And now 5-10 minutes later, he came out of the deep state he was in, and you know, he didn't know anything about being picked up by soldiers or dumped in a truck. And soldiers aren't the most sensitive of human beings. It just actually showed him that you know, you can go deep inside yourself. And he got into one of the deep meditations. He didn't really know what he was doing, but always going in, to a place where the pain can't reach you. And later on, when he came to Australia and he found out Buddhism, and he became a Buddhist, sometimes he said, I can't get into those deep states of meditation anymore because his migraines disappeared altogether. But it was the pain of the migraine really gave him the incentive to really go deep inside and really get into very, very deep meditation. So it's an interesting way of dealing with the migraines. Just go really deep inside of yourself. And if that doesn't work, not going deep inside of yourself, the other way is actually to make peace with the migraine. This is something which the Buddha said. He said there's two types of pain and discomfort. The first is the physical stuff, which you can't really do too much about the physical stuff because that's, you know, neurological. But he said you can do a lot with your reaction to it, with the emotional part of the pain. And that is that part of pain or discomfort. When it's, I don't want this, I can't stand it, and I'm trying to find a way out of it. Instead of trying to fight the pain, we let it be. It's a tough thing to ask a person because sometimes the pain can be just so debilitating. But you can learn how to let these things be, just to make peace with them instead of making war. And it's that attitude of making peace rather than war, which is one of the important skills which we learn from meditation. And if you have an ache which cannot be, or a pain, or an agony which cannot be overcome any other way, making peace with it really does work. I've done that many times myself. Other people have shown it actually works. There was one guy who used to come here years ago. Haven't seen him since. He's probably dead by now because he was towards the end of his life. And he had this very chronic back pain. And he was in the local, in the Shenton, no, Osborne Park, the pain clinic for people with extreme chronic pain. And they could put all these gizmos on his brain, on his body, and to see what part of the brain is lighting up when he had this pain. And they could know it was really extreme pain. And in order for him to convey what he was feeling all the time, that they had a, he told me they had this this very good little way of describing it, this gauge of the degree of pain. And he told me that on the scale of pain, his pain, which he was said he was experiencing 24 hours a day, was exactly the same as if you were having your arm cut off with a saw. So that was the degree of pain he was feeling. And because of that degree of pain, he was legally allowed to take, at that time anyway, any drug, even those which were supposed to be prohibited according to law. And it was such extreme pain that he could take anything for it. But he said what really got him to be apart from that pain is to learn how to meditate. He meditated so deeply into that pain. And he said they put the machines on him. And he could actually get his mind so still, his body so still, that he said he could stop breathing, you know, for long periods of time. Really, really deep meditation. And that's the way of overcoming his pain. And it was amazing to see him, and to, you know, he was actually the real deal. So you can overcome the deep pains, number one, by going deep inside of it. Stop running away from it. You have to go in the opposite direction, deep inside of it, making peace with it, being kind to it. And of course, the last little story, which, you know, is one of the most important ones, which I've mentioned many, many times, is the anger-eating monster. No, just in brief, because I mentioned this many times, it's in several of my books. The anger-eating monster, this monster came into the palace, and all the soldiers say, get out of here, you don't belong. And every bit of anger, ill will, trying to get rid of this monster just made it bigger, more painful, more of a problem. Until the empress came back, she knew what to do, and she said to this really ugly demon who'd come into the palace, welcome, thank you for coming, have you had a cup of tea yet? She was kind to the monster, and every time she was kind to the monster grew an inch smaller. Until everybody realized how to deal with this monster, they gave it kindness. Instead of trying to get rid of it, they welcomed it. And every act of kindness, the monster grew smaller and smaller and smaller, until it vanished completely away. And that idea of an anger-eating monster was a very wonderful psychological picture of what happens with pain. No pain. From the Maldives, your migraine, is an anger-eating monster. Get out of here, you don't belong. It gets worse. You're giving it anger, ill will, trying to get rid of it. And if a person can, it's a tough thing to do, but you can do this. If you say to it, welcome, thank you for visiting me. You make peace with it. You're kind to it rather than getting angry at it. Because you're not feeding it ill will and anger, you actually relax and it gets less and less. And once it starts getting less, you realize the path. Just like that story, the anger-eating monster. Once the empress gave it kindness, and everybody was mindful enough to see that the kindness made the monster a little bit smaller, less of a problem. The mindfulness, watching the monster, gave feedback. See, give it anger, it gets worse. Give it kindness, it gets less. So that way, they realized what they needed to do. Mindfulness gives you feedback, the feedback gives you wisdom, it gives you the solution. And carried on applying that solution of letting the monster be, being kind to it, until the monster eventually vanished. So that is a way to try to overcome the migraine, try to get beyond it. And it usually works. So, you start blinking my nose when you start meditating. It's a sign to me is, you know, that you are trying to meditate or trying to get rid of something, and that just makes you more tense. If you can learn how to let it be, relax, then you find out the solution is right there. And sometimes when you have a big problem like a migraine, it has its benefits, excuse me for saying this, because it does focus your mind, and you have to do the right thing because otherwise it just gets worse and intolerable. So sometimes people who have had difficulties with pain and other problems, they can use it to their advantage. When I had the terrible noise in our monastery, I learned how to deal with disturbing sounds by not disturbing them. If I hadn't had that suffering, you wouldn't have been able to do that. When you have very, very bad pains, it's a teacher. You can actually learn how to be at peace with the pain. So it does become what was a problem, you turn to your advantage. So that was with the migraine. I hope that helped in the Maldives. It's a very terrible thing because other pains you can just take medication, but sometimes the migraines, you know, sometimes there's no medication available. You just have to learn how to meditate into it, relax, make peace, be kind, remember the anger-eating monster. And those are pretty good strategies which usually work. Okay, is there any questions from the floor today? Going. Going. Gone. Okay, very good. So let's pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and then we can actually go do what we need to do. Okay, what have you got, young lady? Not enough. I'm doing well. Okie dokie. Nah, okay. Remember that one? Sorry?
L.
Alice. Is it all for Alice? Yeah. Wow, lucky Alice.
Because she looked after us very well.